Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2 Faculty of Social Science. Now, we are going to study the summary of Macbeth with actualized scenes. Scene first, the action of the play begins on a deserted heath amid thunder and lightning, where the three weird sisters invite the evil supernatural powers to greet Macbeth on his return from the battlefield with Banquo. They strike the keynote of the play when dancing hand in hand they sing, "Fair is foul and foul is fair, fair is foul and foul is fair." Scene second, the triumph of Macbeth against the treacherous MacDonald and his exceptional bravery in overcoming the rebel is reported to King Duncan by a profusely bleeding soldier bringing the latest news from the battlefield. King Duncan is jubilant to hear the good news and holds Macbeth in high regard. Macbeth and Banquo defeat Sweno, the king of Norway, who is assisted by the rebel Thane of Cawdor, who is arrested, and the king orders his execution for treachery, and his title and property are conferred on Macbeth. The brave injured soldier's report of Macbeth's valor is confirmed by Ross, who arrives shortly after the soldier is sent for medical attention. Scene third, mischief bent weird sisters get ready to greet Macbeth and Banquo returning after their glorious triumph and valiant exploits on the battlefield. They greet them duo as the latter reach in the deserted heath. The weird sisters are ugly, withered, and women with flowing beards. They greet Macbeth as the Thane of Glamis, which he is already, Thane of Cawdor, and King thereafter. The sinister suggestion in their prophecy sinks immediately and deep in Macbeth's psyche. Macbeth is thrown into a trance, and Banquo quite naturally feels envious of friends' good name, good fortune, and asks them if they have no prophecies for him. The witches greet him also and prophesy that he is lesser than Macbeth yet greater, not so happy yet much happier. In the end, they pronounce that Banquo would beget kings, though he himself would never be a king. These predictions surprise and alarm them both. Macbeth receives the prophecy seriously and begins to cherish the thoughts of regicide. Banquo, on the other hand, dismisses these as the work of the evil. Both Macbeth and Banquo wish to question the witches further, but they disappear, leaving the two amazed. Ross and Angus arrive and greet Macbeth as the Thane of Glamis and the Thane of Cawdor. They explain that King has received the reports about their triumph and valor, and in recognition and appreciation of Macbeth's valor and loyalty, rewards him with the title and property of the discredited Thane of Cawdor, who is presently to be executed for his treacherous conduct. Thus, the first two of the three prophecies about Macbeth have come true so soon. This occurrence convinces Macbeth that their third prophecy would also eventually come true. Macbeth falls in a fit of deep meditation as the guilt is germinating in him. He experiences a vague suggestion in him that he could achieve the throne of Scotland by murdering Duncan. He is so noble that he shudders at the very thought of murdering such a noble old king. He, however, wakes from his trance and asks Banquo to talk to him in confidence after meeting the king. Unable to decide on his future course of action, Macbeth leaves things to fate. Scene 4th. The scene shifts to the king's court, where Macbeth and Banquo are most cordially welcomed by King Duncan. Macbeth is addressed as the worthiest cousin and showers great affection and appreciation for his and Banquo's valor and loyalties. He declares his eldest son Malcolm his heir to succeed him to the throne after his death, and made him the prince of Cumberland. The king is equally warm and affectionate towards Banquo, but Duncan's decision and announcement has a great significance, and of greater significance is the king's decision to the Macbeth's guest at his castle that night in order to show his appreciation and accord honor to his valiant noble cousin. Macbeth, the great general, immediately discerns the strategic importance of the king's visit to his castle at Inverness and realizes that the surest and the nearest way to the throne of Scotland lies in the murder of his royal guest and cousin that night. Before Malcolm is officially proclaimed and anointed the heir and the prince of Cumberland at a royal ceremony later, this suggestion surprised Macbeth himself so much that he invokes the spirit of darkness to help him in his hazardous venture. The poor noble king, however, did not realize that fate has trapped him and is sending him to his death by deception and treachery of his trusted one. Scene fifth. Lady Macbeth receives her husband's letter written immediately after his meeting with the three witches. In his letter, Macbeth has written about the prophecies of the witches, of which two have already come true. Lady Macbeth immediately realizes that the nearest way to the throne of Scotland lies through murder and bloodshed. But she also knows that her husband is too noble to take such a course. She knows that Macbeth is ambitious but lacks boldness to realize his ambition. At this moment, a messenger brings the news of the king's visit at night halt at Macbeth's castle. She wishes her husband to come straight to her so that she may prepare him with the valour of her tongue. She sees in the king's visit to her castle the most appropriate opportunity of murdering the king. She resolves to do the deed the same night. She invokes the forces of evil to unsex her and fill her from crown to toe with direst cruelty. She also appeals to the spirit of the night to wrap the world in the blanket of darkness so that even the knife may not see the wound it makes in the king's chest. Macbeth arrives at this moment. Lady Macbeth greets him as the fortune king of Scotland and tells him about the course to the throne through the murder of the King Duncan. She advises her husband to look cool and clear. Scene 6. Lady Macbeth plays the perfect hostess when the king pays the royal visit. The king is highly pleased at the lavish reception. Lady Macbeth is evasive in explaining her husband's absence. The innocent and noble Duncan admires the beauty and peace of Macbeth's castle, not suspecting what lies in store for him in this very castle. He is unable to see the lurking guilt behind the apparent cordiality. Scene 7. While the royal guest is lavishly entertained by Lady Macbeth, her husband passes through actual mental and moral agony. He reflects on the crime of murdering so noble and innocent king who is visiting him in trust, and he is his sacred guest. Macbeth is not worried about the punishment in the next world, but he is really afraid of it in this world. He decides not to murder such a gracious king. Lady Macbeth comes to ask why he has left the feast. He tells her that he would not execute the bloody deed. He sees and enraged to hear this and reminds him that it was he who suggested the murder and promised to do it. She explains how easy it is to execute the deed. She tells him that he planned the murder when it was not possible, and now when it is so easy, he is backing out. She mocked at his manhood and valor. She ridiculed him and ultimately persuades him to do the deed. This is the end of Act 1.